E.L. Doctorow has a new novel called The Waterworks. It's about the Great Croton Holding Reservoir, which supplied water to New York City in the 19th century and stood at the present site of the New York Public Library on Fifth Avenue. Doctorow's been haunted by a dark vision of the reservoir ever since the short story Waterworks, which was published 10 years ago in his collection The Lives of the Poets. Critic Maureen Corrigan says that in Doctorow's new novel, the reservoir is like Edgar Allan Poe's cracked House of Usher, a symbol of the evils floating free in society. Here's her review.
The Croton Holding Reservoir was one of those man-made marvels, like San Simeon or Mount Rushmore, that's so preposterous, it's creepy. It was built, if you can picture this, in 19th century Egyptian style, with temple doors and 25-foot-thick walls that slanted inward like a pyramid. In the summer, weary New Yorkers could climb the reservoir and stroll along its parapet. But for the narrator of E.L. Doctorow's novel, The Waterworks, the view up there is far from soothing. From this elevation, the narrator says, the city seemed to fall back before something that wasn't a city, a squared expanse of black water that was, in fact, the geometrical absence of city. In The Waterworks, Doctorow has created a novel as mesmerizing and far-fetched as the reservoir itself. The Waterworks is obsessed with the bizarre, unlike most of Doctorow's other books, which have been grounded in a revisionist reading of American social history. This is not some postmodernist parody of a spooky story. It aims to be the real thing, a Poe-like tale of terror filled with mysterious stagecoaches, the walking dead, and desecrated graves. Here are the horror highlights. One rainy afternoon in 1871, a freelance book reviewer named Martin Pemberton turns up drenched and raving in the offices of the New York Telegram. He tells his editor, a man named McIlvaine, that a few hours before he spied a white stagecoach filled with ghostly pale old men. Pemberton's curiosity was aroused, so he leapt on board and peered into the coach's back window. Inside, he saw his own dead father. When Pemberton later vanishes, McIlvaine investigates and encounters the cryptic figure of Dr. Sartorius. He's a Dr. Frankenstein-like scientist who performs experiments on orphans in the hope of finding the secret of life itself. As Mary Shelley knew, the only way to pull off a story this outlandish is to tell it with utter conviction. Halfway through, however, Doctorow gets cold feet and begins to decode the demonic by turning his supernatural tale into a rational detective story. The genre switch made me feel a bit duped, as though I'd climbed onto the parapet of the reservoir only to find it had been drained of all that sinister black water. But all is not lost. One of the things The Waterworks shares with Doctorow's other great novels is that his sharpest social commentary lurks within passages incidental to the main plot. Here, for instance, McIlvaine describes a boy's first trip into the urban nightmare of 19th century New York. The lungs of the young boy fill with the sickening air of the meat district, the stockyards and slaughterhouses. Perhaps he thinks he has landed not in New York, but on the chest of a monstrous carcass and is inhaling the odor of its huge, bloody being. It's the cumulative power of these blighted vistas of the city that matters most in The Waterworks. And looming over all is that malign image of the reservoir. After reading The Waterworks, you've got to wonder whether those two famous lions on either side of the New York Public Library may be doing more than just posing like feline bookends. Maybe they're also holding down the evil spirits of the past.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed E.L. Doctorow's new novel, The Waterworks.